It's really good to be here tonight. Glad to have the opportunity to talk with you. Known many of you for a while and getting to know some of you now more recently, and just always thankful for the family that God builds in Christ. So just thanks for being here tonight. I'm going to talk a little bit about this gathering. I just want to start with the fact that I'm a little shaken because I started the day thinking I was wearing a power sweater. And then Brother Finney just went and made me rethink my whole thing. It's like, this just seems plain now, so I'm going to have to do a little better next time out, and I'll put some time into that. I do want to say this. It's good that you're here. It's good that you're together. It's good that you gather together to honor God and make God important to you. And I don't know if we, as we're together, say this enough, but to all of you young parents who, you know, this is the afternoon, right? So I'm sure there were some naps, maybe a tantrum or two, some attitude adjustment, whatever your afternoon looked like, you've got things together and you got here and you made this a priority. And as a young person who came many, many times through my parents making that happen, I can tell you that's going to make a difference in your lives. And I know some of you, it's getting colder outside and darker outside and harder to get out, but you're here. And I want you to know that God doesn't leave that unblessed. And that's kind of the thoughts I have tonight, but I want to talk just about the church, this concept that what God created was a family in Christ. What God created was this idea that we could be His church. We don't go to it. We don't just attend it. But what we are when we're together is something powerful, something unique, something grand. And Acts 2:42, we read it to start. It says they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teachings and fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And just in that brief moment in the beginning of the church, you see this excitement about being together. And I'm sure you've read through the book of Acts and you've thought, those people loved the Lord and they loved each other. In fact, you're not the only one to think it. Those people living in that day that weren't a part of that body saw that what they were doing was unique and powerful and different. And so I'm just going to do what I think I'm supposed to do. I'm going to give you 3 points out of this tonight. And I don't have PowerPoint, so this will be 1, 2, and 3. First point is this. In order to be church, we need to understand that it has a lot to do with believing. We see it there in the verse we read. There was a teaching going on. They were dedicated to what they believed, and they taught that. The second part is this. It was about becoming. Nobody came together thinking they were all done, that they had enough understanding, enough knowledge, enough experience to say, we don't need this anymore. In fact, when Paul describes this church as a body, he says one member can't say to the other, no matter how important or unimportant it may feel, that I don't need you. And the reason is, Christians, we're not done yet. We are becoming something more day by day. And the third and final thought is going to be this. It's a belonging. You know what makes this so powerful? This is not a club like you might join anywhere else. It's a spiritual body with Christ as the head, and we actually belong to one another. And here's I want to kind of share this with you tonight. I had experience a couple months ago. I was in Florida. I was checking into my hotel, and standing right here, kind of next in line, kind of waiting to talk, was somebody I thought I recognized. In fact, I looked again. You know that when you think you know, and you look, but you're trying not to let them know that you're looking? We were both doing that. And here's the problem. This was somebody I grew up with on a pew for like 20 years, but I hadn't seen him in 20 years. And the expression for that is I looked at him, he looked similar, just a little more prosperous, a little more wise. That means we were both heavier and a little grayer. But we looked pretty much the same. And I looked at him and said, Cody? He said, Josh? I said, yeah. How in Florida did I run into this guy? And it got me thinking about what the last 20 years had brought. I'll tell you this about running into him. There are a lot of kids I grew up with in the church that aren't in the church anymore. They didn't take these principles, what being church was about, to heart. And to talk with Cody and to see and hear how he was raising his family, that he was faithful to the Lord, it was just such an encouraging moment. And so it got me thinking about the church I grew up in and these 3 points we just talked about. You know what was emphasized and why it was always important to be there is this concept number one of believing. You know, every time we gathered, we talked about who we were in Christ. We believed that God created everything, visible and invisible. And I want you to know why that's important, this idea of believing. Because every time you leave this place, the world is trying to get you to believe something else. And here, we get to focus on the fact that God made it all. He's behind it all. We believe that Jesus is the Son of God and one with God. I'm going to tell you, that's a truth that changes not only your life, but your eternity. And in that small country church, we talked a lot about believing that that Jesus was one who came to suffer and die on the cross for our sins. You know, I focused every Sunday on that, every Lord's Supper on that, every Bible study. Let me say, after all those years, do you think that message got a little old? No. Because every time we went back out of that place, the world was trying to tell us to believe something different. We believe that Jesus died and was buried, that he was buried in a tomb owned by a man named Joseph who was a follower of Jesus. We believe that Jesus rose again. We believe in the resurrection. It's the power to our new life. We believe that Jesus ascended into heaven and that he sent his Spirit to guide us in this life. We believe that Jesus will judge the living and the dead. And we believe that people who repent of their sins and are born again of spirit and water can be forgiven. It's important to be here and remember what we believe. The first step to be in church is knowing what we believe. You know, it's hard to run into someone that you haven't seen in 20 years. And I was thinking about this a little bit because Cody knew everything about me from those years you want people to forget, right? And I knew some things about him too. In fact, Cody knew. I was thinking about this the other day. I had my best friend at the time was Shane Jensen, and we had Bible class together. Just happened to be his mom was our Bible class teacher, and she was coming to class late, and we saw these erasers on the board. We used to have chalkboards. I don't know if I have time to explain young people what a chalkboard is, but talk to your parents. And that's how teachers would teach. And Shane and I got in an argument. I can't even tell you what it was about. But I made him mad, and he made me equally mad, and we started swinging these erasers, and that got fun, because the chalk was fun. And his mom got there, took us both out, spanked us both. That's how you corrected attitudes back then. And then my mom came out and spanked me then, and then my dad was preaching, spanked me when I got home. That's the last time I ever threw chalk at anybody. Cody had been apart. We had a little strip of grass in this country church just outside. Parents wouldn't let us bring balls and things to church, right? And so we would go out to that lawn and we would play a game we invented called invisible football. You figure out how to get a bunch of young kids to play a game where you can't see the ball they're playing with. And we tackled each other and we argued over rules. I'm telling you, there's a lot of things that are important about being together. Don't just happen on the pew. And he knew the good and he knew the bad. But as I thought about this, it became obvious to me very quickly that we were not who we were 20 years ago. And that comes to the second point. Being church is not just about what we believe. It's about becoming something more. And I looked at this man who had become so much more like Jesus Christ. Luke 6:40 says, "A pupil is not above his teacher, but everyone after he's been fully trained will be like his teacher." You know, I used to have an attitude about Bible studies and Bible lessons. I remember my parents, every Sunday morning and every Wednesday night, we had to kind of line up and show them that we filled out all of our lesson books, right? And we were ready to go. And I used to think, why are we doing this? Boy, it's so important, young people. It's so important to put time into learning God's Word and talking about it with these people in this group that love you and want to share God's Word with you. Bible classes, coming ready to learn, coming ready to grow is essential to what we are as God's church. In fact, I think of Paul's attitude in Philippians 3, verse 13. He says, "Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead." I'm going to start in verse 14 in a second. Let me just tell you something, Christians. We could be a lot better at forgetting what lies behind as a body. If we're going to become something more, we need to be better about forgetting those things that lie behind and press on to what lies forward. Verse 14, "I press on," Paul says, "toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if anything, you have a different attitude, God will reveal that to you also. However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained." Christians are always becoming something more. Isn't that great? You came ready, you came excited, but we're going to leave changed. That's what God is doing in his church. Clearly, this man I hadn't seen in a long time had matured in Christ. And that made such a strong connection. You know, that's what Jesus does in his church. He makes these strong, strong connections. Like the early church. they were doing life together. What they believed wasn't always popular, put their life in danger. I remember, just give you this other example of a fun childhood activity. We could never do this at the church building. Nobody would ever allow it to happen. But a bunch of us young guys would get together on Sunday afternoons and we would play a game called Gorilla Basketball. I wish they would bring this back. All you need is two garbage cans on the back lawn and any kind of ball. And it was no rules barred, tackle, whatever, get that ball into the other hoop. But we'd play that all afternoon. And I remember this like I could see it right here. We would all sit on this front row Sunday night. Grass stains. I'm sure the second row was empty because they could smell us. But we were there trying to keep our head up. And I remember this man that sat behind us, our deacon at the time, Fred Engel. Fred was a guy who became a Christian late in life. In fact, he watched our family from across the street go to services with a bunch of kids every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and every Wednesday night. It just so happened one year when the clocks changed, our family wasn't out the door at the same time it usually was. And Fred was reading his paper, and he thought something must be wrong at the Higgins house. So he set his paper down, and he walked and knocked on the door, and he said, "I think you guys are going to be late to church." And a Bible study started, and he became a Christian. And the poor guy had the job of sitting behind all of us teenagers, steady, sweaty, stinky Sunday night, keeping us awake. This was kind of his job. We all need a deacon like this, right? Keep everybody awake. That guy's heart for helping us become more, wanting us to be more. So many thoughts about this. I'll tell you this. When I think about where I grew up and the time people put into us, loving us, teaching us, I still love going back and being with those Christians. It's not like any group I've ever been a part of. See, believing something and being church and becoming something and being church is so wonderful, but it all ends on this final thought. We belong to one another. It's different than anything you'll do in life, the church. You belong to God and you belong to one another. Here's how Paul writes it in Romans 12 and verse 4. He says, "For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another." Think of how beautiful that is. You know, our world struggles for a great many reasons, but one of the greatest difficulties facing our time is this struggle with loneliness. Disconnectedness. You hear articles about it all the time. There's books constantly being written about the fact in an internet age where we're connected all the time, we as people feel more disconnected than ever. Isn't it amazing that God, through his infinite wisdom, has an answer for that in his church? That we don't just show up and do some things together. We belong to one another. We care about one another. It was clear to me as I ran into this friend from a long time ago in this hotel lobby, that I didn't just run into somebody I once knew. In fact, I didn't tell you this to start. Cody not only grew up going to church with me, he lived like a mile away from me. We all lived in the country, so, but he was like on my bus route. He went to the same high school. And yet the first things I thought about when I saw him were not the local high school, how the football team was doing. We didn't talk about our hometown campus. We immediately were talking about much deeper things. That's what being members of a church does. It's what belonging to one another does. We talked about Jesus, about what he was doing in our life. And it's amazing how after such a long time, a long gap, I still felt connected to him through Christ. I'll tell you what a local church learns to do by belonging to one another. You learn to do the right kind of math. You learn to multiply each other's joys. I mean, isn't it great? Someone has a baby, someone gets married, someone just moved. That's not just their joy. We share that joy. We divide sorrows. I've told this story just recently at home, but I don't hunt. And when I moved to Colorado, that became an issue. It didn't seem to be an issue in California. But the reason I don't hunt was that my dad decided that for us a long time ago. We had a member of the church, four young kids, who went hunting with his brother. They hunted every year. They were great at it. But one year, everything went wrong, and he was shot and killed by his own brother in a horrible accident. Man, how that shook our little group. A mom, now raising four kids, wondering how she's going to do this, how she's going to just do life, let alone keep them coming and faithful. And the church just rallied around them. This is a part of what dividing sorrow looks like. I never knew it happened until later. But the oldest son told me, probably when I was about in high school, he said, "You want to know what your dad did the night my dad died?" I said, "Yeah, sure. He said, he stopped by and he said, 'Corey, I'm not your dad. And I never will be. Your dad was a great man. But he's gone. And I know what he wants for you. And I'm going to help you get that. I'm going to be here for you. I'll be a dad to you.'" I didn't know he'd done that. My dad's a busy guy. He had a lot going, had a lot of kids of his own, but he just checked in and checked in and checked in. And 32 years later, they're both shepherds in that congregation together. You know, church, there's so much being here can do if just being here isn't the goal. Being church is about believing, becoming, and belonging to one another. I think a lot about Cody now, how his family's doing, what's going on there. I think a lot about that little church where I grew up. In fact, I'm excited in 3 weeks. Not only get to see my family for Thanksgiving, I get to go worship with that group of Christians. My grandfather got to worship with us there for a couple of years. He always preached. He was a part of a different group. But later on in his life, he came and worshiped with us. And I could see this little group impact him immediately. He felt connected. He was a part. He got cancer. It was pretty fast moving, and he knew the end was coming, but he wasn't one to talk about it. He was always there. In fact, my grandfather helped me kind of understand that nobody here is 100%. We don't come because we felt perfect. We're here because we need it. We're belonging. We need to get something out of this and share something. I was a senior in high school, and I remember we got a call. My grandparents lived right next door to us, and it was my grandmother, and she said, "Your grandpa's fallen in the bathroom. He's not able to get up, and could you and your dad come and help him get to bed?" It was Sunday morning. And so my dad and I walked over there, and I was young. I didn't know what to expect, how bad the fall was. He had just, through weakness, he was shaving. He had his suit pants on, and his patented suspenders were already there. Always had those on. But he just kind of, through weakness, slumped to the ground and didn't have the strength to stand. And he was crying. And I'd never seen him like that. I mean, obviously. And I didn't know why he was crying. I first thought maybe he's really hurt. You know, we need to get him to the hospital. My dad said, "Are you all right, Pete? You okay?" He calmed himself and he said, "I'm fine. I'm going to be fine." He said, "I just thought I could one more time worship with everybody. Just thought I could be there one more time." I get it. There are Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, Wednesday nights, Bible passages. There are times, even as a preacher, when I think, you know, I just need some time away. I just need some time out. I'm too tired. I don't feel 100%. I get it. We all feel that way. That moment has impacted me more than any moment in my life. Why would we not want to be somewhere where we can talk about what we believe? It's changed our life. Why not want to be somewhere where we get to challenge ourselves to become what we can't do on our own? And why not want to be where we belong to one another? No matter how low you feel, no matter how much pressure this world is putting on you, it's really good that you're here. And it's not because I've got some message that's going to change your life. I think if you think through it, you get what this church is. And here's the beauty. It's not just for you. As you believe, become, and belong, you get to show a lonesome, sin-cursed world that there's hope. This family's for them. So my thoughts for you tonight are that you would remember what that first church had that worked so well. They didn't join some kind of social club. You could do that anywhere. Just pay your dues, show up once in a while. They were part of something that was living and vibrant and powerful, and you're all a part of that right now. And here's one thing I know, reading through the book of Acts, they couldn't wait to tell others about it. As you go out this week, you look around, pray God give you the courage to talk to somebody else about the joy and the hope Christ has created in this body. Thank you for listening. I hope that you'll get back into the Word and think about what that church looks like. And again, whenever you're tempted to just do church, stop. Think about who you are, what you believe. Think about the fact that God's still working on you, and that you belong to these people. If you're not a Christian tonight, I'll give the invitation right now to become one. The invitation is simple. Jesus Christ came to a burdened world and said, "You who are weak and weary and heavy burdened, take my yoke upon you." I want to just point out, he said to those who are weak, not just to stop working, he said, "Stop doing the wrong work and do my work. Be yoked with me, and I will give you rest." If you're ready to put on Christ in baptism tonight, you can do that. Confess he is Lord, repent of your sins, and be buried with him. Become a new creature in Christ. If you're here and you need prayers, this is one of the great reasons Christians gather forever, is that here we can combine our hearts in prayer and talk to a Father who cares and he listens. If either is what you need, think about how to mention that. You can come to the front. You can talk to anyone before you leave. But I challenge you this. Make being church, being one of Christ's own, a priority. And take care of those spiritual needs first. If we can help you, let us know. And let's stand and sing a song to encourage one another.